Oh yeah,
got
comedy.
A logo now and everything.
Yeah, we got
do,
the
yeah.
whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're all doing it.
You guys keep getting more and more impressive.
True. Welcome to episode 446, everybody.
Wow,
it's a lot.
That is
it's a lot of episodes.
That's a big number.
It's a big number. We've done 89 spoilers and 446, so we're over 500.
And then 600 we haven't even counted.
Yeah, those are just the ones where you and I talked into a shoe.
Yeah, that's I know. They're numbered on napkins.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. So we're halfway to 892, which is going to be exciting. 892 is going to be a fun episode.
It will be.
What's the significance of 892?
Finally, someone asked.
Yeah.
I've been doing that. Because we hit our 50th episode. We're like, oh, halfway to 100. So then I just started any episode. I say we're halfway to whatever. So there's always this big episode down the road that we're going to get to. And it's going to be exciting.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Can't wait. Can't wait. I look forward to it.
It's only 5 to 10 years away. So we'll see what happens.
We're always chasing this rainbow of some big number episode down the road. I'm sure episode 223, I was like, oh, we're halfway to 446.
Yep. It's like, all right, I'm glad we got that one in the can. We're going to be talking about a lot of movies today.
Yes,
we're going to be talking about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Who Killed Jam Master Jay, The Christmas Chronicles.
Oh.
And we've got some great sponsors and a lot of movies coming out on DVD and Blu-ray.
A couple of crazy trailers, The Roma and They Shall Not Grow Old.
Yeah, and some crazy trailers we're going to talk about. So, all right, let's introduce our guest.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's been on the show numerous times.
Yes.
Just got back from Prague, Mark Guggenheim, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, yes. Thanks for having me back. Mm-hmm. Yes, I just flew in from Prague, and I'm just really tired. Not my arm. I didn't fly myself, but I am tired.
And you just finished the CW crossover episodes,
just finished
right?
The CW crossover episodes. Yeah, so many things going on.
Now, how many superheroes did you cram into how many episodes? It's four, right?
It's three.
Oh,
this year
okay.
We did three. Just we wanted to make our lives a little bit easier after last year. And
right.
The thing we couldn't tell everyone, but now we can, is we knew we were going to do Crisis on Infinite Earths for next year.
Okay.
And we knew that is going to be an interesting challenge. Mm-hmm. So we were like, we're going to go easy on ourselves this year, give ourselves a little bit of a break. Give the cast and the crew a little bit of a break.
Okay.
And then next year, it's just bonkers.
Now, you introduced Batwoman this
yes.
year, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun, I have to say. I had a blast. I love the character.
Mm-hmm.
Carolyn Dreese, who's the showrunner creator of the Batwoman show, was such a joy to work with. And it's Batwoman, come on.
Right.
You know, I got to stand on a rooftop in Chicago with a bat signal for God's sake.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, it was really great. Really, really great. So, yeah, no, it was an incredibly rewarding experience. Seems to have gone over pretty well, which is great. I had a blast. We really actually had fun doing it this year, which is not always the case. And so that was really awesome and rewarding. Yeah, it's been good. It's been a good couple of months.
Oh,
actually.
Awesome!
Yeah, it's been fun. I'm not as burnt out at this point of the year as I normally am. So it's good.
All right, great.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah. All right, now before we get into Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, let's talk a little bit about your experience with the character. You wrote a run for Marvel.
I
on
did.
Spider-Man.
I worked on the Brand New Day run, which was when Marvel decided to cancel the other Spider-Man titles and publish Amazing Spider-Man, the flagship title, three times a month. And I worked with Dan Slott and Zeb Wells and Bob Gale and Mark Wade and.
Wow.
Joe Kelly. I mean, crazy, crazy murderer's row of writers.
Right.
And it was such a blast. We had a lot of fun, and we still keep in touch. And those were some fun times.
Now, this is the storyline that where it kind of like got rid of Spider-Man's marriage with
yes.
Mary Jane, right?
Correct. Correct. Mm-hmm. Basically,
it's a nice retcon. It was like well, we got to kind
of didn't do
this.
It. We One More Day was the One More Day did it.
Right.
And One More Day did it, and we were Brand New Day. So we basically, it was like, they dropped the mic and said, hey, good luck, go for it. And we sort of picked up the mantle. And the way I like to describe it is basically it was Mary Jane and Peter were married, and they got downgraded to a civil union.
Right.
And the funny thing is, I had said that like in an interview, and people like attacked me for being anti-marriage equality. This is back before. This is back when it was called gay marriage.
Right.
But like, it, people attacked me. I'm like, no. I'm pro gay marriage. I'm pro marriage equality. My point is, if you're upset about this, watch. I'm just diving right back into it. But if you're upset about this, it's because you do recognize that a civil union is not the equivalent of a marriage. And they're not the same thing.
We do realize that, but you know, still mad at you. Yeah.
I had nothing to do with it. It was like, yeah, it's just a buzzsaw. But I love to keep just running into that buzzsaw. That's like, you know, over 10 years
old. It's like trying to argue with a Star Wars fan over Twitter.
Well, this was thank God before Twitter. Thank God it was before Twitter. This was back in the days of message boards when, you know, it was still like the Wild West, but less...
It was more focused in certain areas. Like, it wasn't, like,
everywhere. And just the nature of a message board versus the immediacy of Twitter,
right.
that also changes, lowers the temperature
a
little bit.
But now, as we get into this movie, I want to ask one question about Spider-Man. Yeah. When you were writing Spider-Man and working with all these great writers, what was it about the character that most appealed to you?
That's a great question. I've always loved the fact that when... I think Spider-Man at his best, you always feel like you're reading a Peter Parker comic. Batman at his best, it's Batman. It's not Bruce Wayne.
Right.
You know, in many ways, like, Batman is the real identity and Bruce Wayne's sort of the secret identity. I feel like the best Spider-Man, you know, movies, shows, and comic runs are the ones where even when it's, you know, Spider-Man running around, swinging around the city with the mask on, is a story about Peter. You know, that to me is the best version of the character. And Peter himself is such a cool and interesting and accessible character. You know,
right.
I don't think, you know, it's funny, we don't really talk about that much, but the idea is, like, in a world populated with superheroes who are, you know, square-jawed or, you know, super heroic or super confident or, you know, super pick an adjective. Peter basically was like this schlub. You know, he was a schlub and still is a schlub. Even when he was married to Mary Jane, a supermodel, there's an element of schlubbiness to him that is very accessible.
He's a dorky, bumbling, he's tripping over his own feet.
He's the Parker Luck, he's just. Yeah, he's just like a schmo, and that's what's so great and winning about him is that he's a schmo.
Yeah, superhero with real world problems.
With real world problems, but also real world, like, you know, we're so conditioned in watching TVs and TV shows and movies where, you know, character goes from point A to point B. He always finds a parking space. You know, she always, you know, gets the person she's calling on the first ring.
Always has money to buy whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Peter, none of those things are ever true. In fact, the one thing you can pretty much count on with Peter is it's gonna go wrong. It's gonna go poorly, and that's just. It's accessible and it's relatable, and I think it's one of the reasons why the character, you know, resonates so much for all these years. And it's really unique in that respect. You know, I mean, Wonder Woman's fucking badass. Like, she's things always work out for Wonder Woman.
She doesn't have a lot of self doubt. She's not neurotic.
And Peter, like, you know, nothing goes right for Peter.
It helps to be a princess too.
It does help to be a princess, and you know, it helps, you know, depending upon your comic book run, to be a god or have that in you, and that's wonderful too. And, you know, these are all wonderful advantages.
Maybe half god. Yeah. You know, depending on the
it depends on the run.
Run. Yeah,
depends on the run. But yeah, like, you know, Peter could be you or me. You know, in a way it's funny. People like to say, not to pick on Batman, but like people like to say, like, well, Batman could be you or me because he doesn't have superpowers. Like, yeah, you know what? None of us can be like, you know, like uber wealthy, inherited, you know, millions and millions of dollars.
And trained in Russia.
Exactly.
Because if our parent, we saw our parents killed, we might have the same drive to rid crime, but we wouldn't have the $1 billion to go train the League of Shadows.
Yeah. Precisely. So, like,
maybe we'd be a criminal prosecutor or something like that.
Yeah, join the force.
Maybe a policeman or something like that.
Exactly. So Peter's, Peter's just accessible and cool.
So, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, this is the animated movie that come out now. Keep in mind, not a Marvel movie. This is still Sony licensing the character, because now we'll talk about more about it on the spoiler app. But
yeah, so we did a spoiler app, yes. Guys, that'll drop this week, mm-hmm. with Ron Placone.
And because Sony and the Disney lawyers worked out the basically a guest appearance for the character in the Marvel universe, but basically the Marvel movies with Spider-Man in them are being made for Sony to distribute. So it kind of goes in a circle, mm-hmm. whereas this is specifically a Sony movie licensing the Marvel character. And it's keeping lawyers employed at studios for many years.
Yeah, it's amazing that we're even talking about
yeah.
this, I have to say.
So this movie was an absolute blast. I had so much fun at this movie. It was a, we talked about it, and wasn't that excited when I heard about it. I'm like, oh, what are they going to do? They're just making a Spider-Man movie. And they're like, no, they cared about this movie. They did a really unique, interesting thing by introducing the Spider-Verse and introducing more Spider-Men and Spider-Women. And it was just really, but they didn't stop there. They went and actually created some really interesting and different animation for the film. Like, you know, a lot of times now, movies either look like Pixar or How to Train Your Dragon, and which also look remarkably similar as well. It's always 3D animation with, you know, specific looking characters. And, you know, you also look sometimes, it's like, all right, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, still pretty similar. Like, you never see interesting or different character designs in animation as much anymore, especially big budget animation. And this one, they're like, you know what, we're going to take some choices. We're going to take some liberties. We're going to experiment. One of the things that they did do was to pay tribute to old comic books through the visual style and imitate the imperfections of offset printing. So some of it is blurry. Some of it, you know, the colors are like superimposed, and maybe that gave some people headaches. So,
Chris, I'm glad you brought that up. So I went yesterday to see this, and I was excited to see it, and there was a lot of cool stuff about it. I only made it about 45 minutes to an hour in. Mm-hmm. Because of that animation style was giving me headaches. So much mm-hmm. so that I was sitting in the back off to one of the sides where I like to sit. And I was like, am I in the 3D one? And mm-hmm. they forgot to give me glass. I checked my ticket. No, I'm in the 2D one. Yeah. I go up and I asked the woman working there. I go, I'm getting a headache and the images look messed up. Like, did they accidentally screen the 3D? Mm-hmm. She comes into the theater. She goes, oh, man, let me check. Mm-hmm. She checks, comes back, and goes, no, this is the 2D version, but the director, the filmmaker, did this intentionally. And she's like, I can give you tickets to the 3D, or we can just give you a full refund. I was like, well.
Or you could visit any of these other theaters and see a movie that isn't blurry.
I was like, all right, I'll try to tough it out. And I watched another 10 minutes or so, and I just was getting a massive headache, and I left.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was bummed, because especially reading that now, I'm like, well, that's so cool that the filmmaker made that choice. Like, I love a cool choice and a throwback and mixing mediums and stuff like that.
Yep. I applaud the effort, but I think this was like a bridge too far. It wasn't necessary. Like, you could get, like, they textured some of the frames and they make it look like, you know, it was almost like you're looking at the newsprint from a comic.
Right. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But, you know, this was like, I don't need it blurry. It's kind of a thing with movies.
Yeah, you want to be able to see it.
Clear is okay. Yeah. Like, I get what you're doing, but like, I don't think it was necessary.
I said this on the spoiler up. I think it would have been cool if they would have just, one of these universes they just went into looked like that.
The blurry offset printing universe. You know, that's, you know, and then they have holds up a hostess pie. So,
yeah. I haven't seen it. I feel terrible. And Kristen Bellson and Christina Steinberg, if you're listening to this, I'm really, really, really sorry. I've been in Prague. There was no opportunity to see it in Prague. So I did see billboards for it in Prague. So that's really saying something. And I'm terrible and I'm an awful friend. And I'm really proud of you guys. and I promise you I'm going to see it because I'm obviously dying to, for so many different reasons.
But it's a really good film for sure. And
I said this in the spoiler and I want to say it here too, is mm-hmm. I wonder if the 3D version that this thing that the filmmaker did is going to look really cool in the 3D version.
Right.
Because, I mean, I love a bold choice, and it's. I'm glad they made this movie, and I like the multiple universes and all the different Spider-Mans that we got to meet in it. I got a headache. I don't know what to do. Right.
What I liked, too, about this movie was, and this is the part you got to see, was they didn't skimp on the setup. Like, we're introducing a new world. We're introducing Miles Morales, a new Spider-Man. We didn't, like, just jump to, all right, let's just jump to him getting bitten. But no, we actually took our time with it. And we got to know him. We got to know his family. We got to know his motivations. And we looked at it like we were meeting Peter Parker for the first time. Like, okay, but in a different way. So then when he did get the powers and the multi-universes started to kind of combine and collide on each other, then we get the Peter Parker, the schleppy Peter Parker who's overweight and divorced and really doesn't have a lot to live for. Like, he's literally gets sucked into the multiverse as he's trying to eat a piece of pizza like that he's holding. And he's scruffy. He's kind of given up. And he becomes Miles Morales' mentor. But he's almost like, you know, Mr. Miyagi, where it's, you know, there's scenes where, you know, they didn't put it in the movie, but you know there were scenes where he was getting drunk, you know, and off camera. But there were some great surprises in this movie. You know, the trailer makes it look like, you know, you see all the other Spider-Men and Spider-Women like right away, like they're in, but they're not. They actually come later. There's actually a lot of setup in this movie, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I really like the fact that this whole Spider-Verse is set up, that the new Spider-Man is set up, and that, you know, we get to see that hero's journey of him just not being, you know, comfortable in this new role, where then he finally gets comfortable. There's a great scene we'll talk about more in the spoiler with him, you know, that it's always that mentor mentee scene right before he starts to come into his own and, you know, realize his role in this. But it was really, really fun. I thought it really unfolded in a nice way. I think the villains could have probably used a little more development, but we all know who the Kingpin is. We know, and we saw his motivations, but they didn't get as much screen time as the heroes because you have so many Spider-Men in the movie. Right. There wasn't a lot of time left. Yeah. But
I'm dying to see it.
It's really cool. Fun, and it's really cool. And it was, again, it was the kind of thing where, you know, my whole family liked it. You know, 13-year-old, 10-year-old wife. Yeah. And like we're talking more about on the spoiler, wife very reluctant to see it. She's not like, animated Spider-Man movie. I don't know. You know,
it was
really fun. And she even commented, as someone not in the business, how cool and stylistic the animation was.
See?
Like,
she's
like, and that's the kind of thing where
I blame my eyes. I don't know why.
I blame your eyes too.
It gave me a headache. I wish it didn't.
But that's the kind of thing. Like, you could have like there's even panels where you get, like, you know, the word blurbs and you get the sound effects and all those things, like you're actually reading a comic book. So I don't think you really needed to go that extra mile of like, well, we're gonna make it blurry. I don't know. I got it. You know, you don't have to push it that far.
I wish I didn't get a headache. I kind of dug it.
Well, you know, maybe the DVD will have like a director's cut, like a non-blurry version, where there's like, oh, if you got a headache, you know, flip the disc over, mm-hmm. and you'll get to see this version. Because in animation, it's like, you know, you just hit a button, you know?
It was cool.
Maybe you just need to go to the eye doctor, man. I mean, have you thought about that? Maybe it's you.
Yeah. Well, wait, let me ask you this question. Was the whole movie blurry or just the edges?
By the way, were the trailers blurry too?
Yeah.
No, the trailers were...
Okay, because that's how you can tell.
The guy sitting next to me was blurry. Yeah, I don't know why the filmmaker would do that.
Was Aquaman blurry or just annoying? So I really liked this movie. I thought it was really fun. I think it had a lot going for it. It was a nice surprise because, you know, the last two Spider-Man movies were awful.
Mm-hmm. I loved Homecoming.
No, I'm sorry. The ones before Marvel got
it. Okay.
Yeah, the Andrew Garfield ones that no one talks about.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah. I meant the last two Sony, ones.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Homecoming's great.
Yeah, Homecoming's fantastic.
Is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Homecoming's fantastic. I mean, really.
Okay. Just so we're clear.
The Spider-Man movie's quality is like watching like a sine wave graph. It's like good, 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 bad, 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 good, bad. It really, it goes
it
up
varies.
And down.
Yeah, it varies. Yeah.
So I think this was a really cool addition to the Spider-Man universe. So I'd like to see what they do next with it, because there's a couple different directions they could go. Honestly, I said it in the spoiler up. I'm going to say it here too. I want to see an entire movie on Spider-Man Noir, voiced by Nicolas Cage. He was so good in this movie.
I've watched that.
Yeah,
I've
and he that. Was all and all in black and white too.
So. Blurry black and white.
Yeah.
All right, so I saw the Netflix doc,
yes.
Who Killed Jam Master Jay.
Mm-hmm.
We've said this before, but it bears repeating. Netflix is just making one amazing doc after another. I don't know. They're just making really good docs, mm-hmm. and this was no exception. So Jam Master Jay was the DJ from Rum DMC, and he was killed.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what, 2002, 2003, yep. something like that.
Unsolved murder.
Unsolved murder, mm-hmm. and they go into it. The movie is also good in the beginning to give you a nice little history lesson on hip-hop and where those guys came up. They came up in Hollis, Queens, and how they started and how huge they got. I mean, they were like the first hip-hop group to be on Rolling Stone and sell out massive arenas, and then they did that song with Aerosmith, which was massive.
Walk yeah, This yeah. Way, yeah.
Big mm-hmm. first crossover from mm-hmm. hip-hop. Which was amazing. Yep. But then they talk about, like, in the late 80s, going into the 90s, gangster rap came, and they sort of fell off a little mm-hmm. bit. And Jam Master Jay got more into producing, and he had a label, and he discovered 50 Cent and
right.
and some other pretty well-known rapper in that era. And
because when you think Run DMC and Jam Master Jay, you don't think, like, oh, they're going to be involved in a... you know, a East Coast, West Coast, you know.
Yeah, gang beef. Shooting.
Yeah, I mean, gang shooting.
They,
yeah.
don't, they didn't come across that mm-hmm. way. But that's one of the things they go into. They're like, right. look, the neighborhood they grew up in, everybody was sort of involved in that a right. little bit. So it was mm-hmm. like you had...
He was killed by LL Cool J.
That would be insane. Don't ruin the ending yeah. of the box.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. Mama said knock you yeah. out. Guilty. So it's really cool the way they... And just from a unsolved crime style of doc. So mm-hmm. it's cool. It's a hip hop doc and an unsolved crime doc together. They did a really cool way of sort of the interviews and recreating. Like they had this like diorama basically of like, well, he was here. This guy came in. This guy said this. Why was this camera shut off? We know this guy was here. We know. And they're interviewing. And then some of the guys that were in sort of Jay's crew, you know, they have criminal records and they're just like, man, I know that guy. There's no way that guy was here. Like, it's really like, and, you know, they interview his mom and, you know, it's really heartfelt and it's
did she explain why she named her son Jay Master Jay?
Yeah, it's a family name. It came.
What was, mm-hmm. just out of curiosity, was the documentary blurry?
Yeah. I don't have a vision problem, guys. The documentary looked great.
Okay.
All the trailers I've seen look great. I can read this piece of paper very well. It's a really interesting doc, and it you know, the filmmaker does a really cool job of painting the picture of his upbringing, the era, the people that are around him. Gets really great, compelling interviews with people asking. One of them is just like a journalist who was like, I was like, I'm going to ask more questions. And how that, you know, the black community, not really forthcoming with the police department. The police department sort of just like, it's another gang thing, like not really investigating it as well. Mm-hmm. And so there's that element in there too. And, you know, it's really, and they use a good mix of sit down interview footage and archival news footage and photos. And it's like an hour and change, you know, it's really compelling. Great little doc. You're at home. You need something to, you know,
check out,
watch over a sandwich,
right?
Hold the iPad up to your eye so it's not blurry. Great.
So
there's two guys with glasses
yeah.
telling me that I have a vision.
Yes, we've corrected our vision issues. You should try it sometime.
Mark, did you see anything on the plane ride back from Prague?
You know, what did I see? No, I was working. On the plane. I love working on planes. It's like the phone's not ringing. It's incredible. Like, yeah, it's great.
You get a lot done.
I get a lot done. So no, I just worked. You know, I started. They've got Star Trek Discovery is on Netflix in Europe.
Really?
I started watching Star Trek Discovery at Travis Beecham's recommendation, and I'm digging it. I'm digging it. It hadn't originally grabbed me back when I...
Is it better than the first episode? Because I watched the first
episode
and I didn't like it.
It gets better. It does grow on you. It does, you got to give it a little time. Okay. You know, got to give it a little time.
That's a pretty fair assessment of a lot of TV series.
Yes, absolutely. Look, it's hard to get it right out of the box. It's really hard.
And I think, too, the
Especially with a show like Star Trek, you have no mythology or history to work from. So, you know, it's... it's really, you know, how there's no roadmap. How can you get it right? So
that's mean. That's just mean. Anyway, I'm entertained by it and I'm enjoying it.
All right.
Oh, so you must know somebody over there.
I did. I think everyone I've known on the show has gotten fired. By I'm enjoying it.
So how far is it? Is it like first season, second season?
It's the second season premieres. I'm not gonna pimp someone else's show, but their second season premieres January 14th or 17th.
Now, the one thing I am excited about, because it is a hit for CBS All Access, is they're doing a Picard show.
I'm totally in for.
Like it's an extension of Next Generation.
Yeah. So, oh, that's cool.
You know, he did an announcement. It's like he's excited to return to the character. Yep. I'm like, so am I.
Yep.
I can't.
Take my money.
I want to see it. Yep. I'm ready.
Yep, me too.
So I saw the Christmas Chronicles. And this is how Netflix is just kind of throwing down the gauntlet. Like, you know, we're going to make and acquire a bunch of crappy movies, but we're also going to even start doing holiday seasonal movies and in addition to specials. So they made basically a Christmas movie that would normally be like on Lifetime or an ABC family special or whatever. You know, it's a very similar plot. So you have a family. Father's passed away. The two children aren't getting along. The mother is just, you know what I want for Christmas? Just for you two to get along. I wonder what's going to happen.
But, are they going to learn the real reason of the season,
and
Chris?
And so here's the thing about this movie. It hits all the beats that every other Christmas movie ever hits. However, this movie... ends up being way more charming than it deserves to be.
So you're mad that it tricked you?
Yeah,
is that what happened?
It was unexpected, especially with Netflix's history on feature films. Again, it seems like they don't talk to the documentary or TV department. Mm-hmm. They're completely isolated and like, we're just going to do what we want. I'm like, no, you really shouldn't stop. You know, you're doing horrible things in your feature department. So just stop in your scripted horror feature department.
I wish you got to send these people.
Yeah. So this movie, Santa Claus is played by Kurt Russell in this movie, and it's absolutely hilarious. He looks like he's having so much fun playing Santa, and he interacts great with the kids. There's like CG elves, there's CG reindeer, there's... you know, policemen who don't believe them that put him in jail. That happens in every Santa Claus movie. Usually a musical number breaks out. It did, but in this movie, it's Stephen Van Zandt's band is actually in jail. But then I'm like, he looks familiar. And then I wonder if there's going to be some instruments that'll appear suddenly. And the thing is...
A trumpet in prison?
Yeah,
no way.
Kurt Russell is so charming and so fun in this movie. You literally go along with it for the entire... ride. So it's actually a really decent, fun kids Christmas movie. Would I recommend adults watching it on their own? No, it's not like a Pixar movie. But if you have a child 10 years or younger, teenagers are gonna tune out on it for sure. But 10 or younger, love it. They're gonna love it. So I watched it with my 10-year-old son, and he loved it. He thought it was really great. So
you want some trivia about this movie?
Sure.
My brother produced it.
Ah, there you go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So name a show that you have no connection to.
Oh, God, movie. There's so much television out there. I'm sure there's a couple things. But it's like both my brothers are writers. My wife is a showrunner. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for 18 years.
Honestly, you can honestly tell them that, it was put together very nicely.
I will. Actually, if you had trashed it, I was fully prepared to embarrass you on this podcast. Without, of course, without giving you the opportunity to edit anything.
Yeah.
Well, usually when we have you on the show, there's usually
you get me into some kind of trouble.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Yes, it's true. Well, I think we got that out of the way with the whole One More Day, Brand New Day thing.
Yeah.
I feel like I've gotten – there's someone in their mother's basement who's like, yes, I'm still angry about that.
Yeah.
Still pissed off about that. I'm glad he brought it up again.
Yeah.
I can only hope they're in their bad mother's business.
Yeah. And they just went, Guggenheim.
Son of a.
So, but yeah, it was really, Fun. And then Goldie Hawn makes an appearance in it. And so it's just...
It's the most adorable Hollywood couple.
Yeah.
They're the last one left.
Yep.
Yeah, and it was... you know, Kurt Russell, I'll tell you, I know he's getting older, but you just can't tell. Like, you know, he's just as charming and fun, and he looks, you know, a little bit grayer, but... You know, he looks
he's
like
one of those guys who's going to be young and good looking when he's
like,
80.
Yeah. It's like I don't think you've aged for 30 years. Mm-mm. Yeah, he looks right, and this is under like a bunch of Santa Claus wigs and makeup and beards. Mm-hmm. I'm like, he's still it looks really good. And,
he's aging extremely well.
Yeah, and I just kept thinking
Kurt, don't
of
crack.
Like, yeah, no, no, and you know, he was Santa Pliskin in this movie.
That's awesome. By the way,
that's a movie. Someone please make this right now.
That's a movie.
It was
Escape Santa from Christmas.
Yes, it really was.
Oh, my God. Call your agent. That's an odd watch
brother.
That movie.
Call your brother. Have them produce that for sure. But it was really fun. So, but again, it's not, it's a 10-year-old and under type movie. Like, but it's, you know, it was really charmingly put together. I give, for awesome. Sure. And so, you know, check that out. And all right. Ready for the sponsor,
let's
Graham?
Let's sponsor it up.
Last sponsor of 2018.
Oh, God bless them. Mm-hmm.
And they want you to make some money, this last sponsor.
I really want them.
Yeah, this is Robinhood.
Oh, thank God.
And they are an app that you can actually invest money and buy stocks on.
I actually use this app.
So it's really...
I do.
It's really,
yeah, it's great. Yeah. It really is. I mean,
it's really easy. There's no commissions. Great. There's no fees. And, you know, other brokerages can charge up to $10, but Robinhood doesn't. It's really easy to use. They have charts and market data, and you can learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. But what I really like about it, too, is it's so easy to use. Like, you know, it's a really user-friendly interface. It's almost like set up like a game. Like, if you ever refer somebody, or like, you know, when you first sign up, you get a free stock, but like they spin. So then, like, it's almost like a three-card Monte. You got to pick the one you want. It spins around and like, oh, yeah. Oh, I got, you know, I got Sirius or Apple or whatever, you know, whatever comes over. And then you just transfer money from your bank account. It's so easy. And then you you buy, sell just right from the app. It's easy.
How long have you been using it, Mark?
Incredibly idiot-proof. I would say about 2 years now, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
It's really great because you can, you know, you just enter in your banking information. You now have a repository of money, and you buy, sell. It's super easy. There's the great charts. It's
tracks
everything. Yeah. It's fantastic. It's honestly, it's like it's idiot-proof investing.
Oh,
it's
nice.
It's really great. Yeah, actually, I really, really like it. And they're not paying me to say that.
Yeah.
Clearly, they're not paying me to say that. But I really dig it.
That's their quote on the website. Yes. Idiot-proof investing.
By the way, I mean, that's not a bad quote.
That's not a bad quote.
So, but here's the thing. This is what I love about this sponsor. If you try it, you're going to get a free share of stock.
What?
Yeah. So it's like, it's literally, you're getting something for free just for signing up.
How about it?
And it could be like Apple, Ford, or Sprint just to help you build your portfolio. You got to sign up at filmnerdsrobinhood.com. That's filmnerds.robinhood.com. So check it out. Robinhood, you will not be sorry. You won't be disappointed. Like, this is a sponsor we actually, we use all the time. And it's really fun.
Cool.
So, all right, got some Patreon.
Patreon
sponsors.
Guys, if you go to patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds, we will do little ad reads for your business or non-for-profit or whatever you got going on.
Yep.
Great way to support the show and get the word out on whatever you're doing.
Whatever you're working on. Yep. This is Johnny Rulon's promoting his novel Green Cheek.
Johnny.
And A Junkie's Guide to Street Magic. It's on Amazon in both digital and hard copy. It's an experimental stream of consciousness novel, which follows the exploits of the muse Calliope and her mortal lover T.S. on a journey through time, dreams, and the hidden place of a supernatural America. The website is happyhorrorshowproductions.com, happyhorrorshowproductions.com. And the Audacity Performing Arts Project produces after-school performing
Audacity.
Arts projects in poor, underfunded, and low-performing schools. Performing arts education is not a luxury. Please check them out at audacityperformingarts.com, audacityperformingarts.com. And from Chris Parker Howard, Coffee
Over
Suicide. Well, at least you didn't say suicide.
Suicide.
It's a dramedy podcast about mental illness and choosing life over death, one cup of coffee at a time. New eps every Friday, wherever podcasts are found. Find out more at coffeeoversuicide.com, coffeeoversuicide.com. Mm-hmm. And Alice Frazier, co-host of the Bugle podcast and Tea with Alice.
Tea.
brings you a series of three genre-bending solo stand-up shows that explore the boundary between comedy and tragedy. The recorded back-to-back is a three-hour show at the Melbourne Comedy Festival in April 2018 with a binaural microphone, which creates an intensely immersive listening experience. Check out alicefrazier.com, Frazier with an S. And Rebecca Evans, the art podcast.
Art.
Past hesitation, but true to ourselves, we find our own art in life. You want to hear some fun stories and get inspired? Check out the art, facebook.com/theartpodcast with an S. And lastly but not least, La Calavera by Alan Ross. It's the story of a pirate radio operator
decides
to go into the pirate cable TV business. Darren Loney, together with a group of misfits and the questionable guidance of a spiritual advisor in the form of Nixon, gear up to take on the world's largest media conglomerate and its egomaniacal celebrity CEO. It's on Amazon in ebook and hard copy. All right. Thanks a lot, Patreon.
Thank
subscribers.
You.
We really appreciate it. That helps us out every single month. All right. Next, first trailer is Roma that we're going to talk about. Now, this is a getting some Oscar buzz, this movie, and it's in theaters and on Netflix. It's in glorious black and white, and it's about a Mexican family growing up in the 70s.
Wait, it's not about Al Pacino's character? I'm not watching. I'm not interested. That's what I thought it was.
It's a prequel.
Who told you you could work with men?
Of housekeeping going on.
Buenas noches, Cleo.
Buenas noches, sir.
That's what I was saying. Shouldn't this be seen on a big screen?
Well, honestly, yeah. Well, no.
There's
see,
two
the
stars
big screen
up there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You're starting to change my mind. It's
right?
Big screen now. Yeah.
I saw this trailer. I was like, I don't think I have a nice big flat screen. I don't think it'll do it justice.
Yeah.
It feels like you need to be immersed in this story.
Right. I don't know, why is the title in color?
You guys are assholes.
All right, now let's talk about, before we play the next trailer, let's talk about this for a minute. They Shall Not Grow Old. This is a really, really, really interesting film. This is Peter Jackson, was given a bunch of World War I footage from the government, and he took it and digitally completely changed it. Not only did he colorize it, but he did a lot more than that. He actually...
The Germans win.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they have to fight goblins, which is weird.
And it's 5 hours long.
So he not only colorized it, but he went through, it was like a frame-by-frame recreation. He changed the frame rate. He changed... kind of the resolution. He also added sound because it was all silent before. So you have all these ambient sounds that weren't there before. And, you know, it actually asks the question that's never been asked before. Well, is it still archive footage at this point? Like, you know, from a film history perspective, it's not, you know, it's been enhanced and changed so much. It's a different experience. It's not even archival footage anymore.
Well, it's curious. I mean, yeah. And it seems like he's the guy to do something like that. Going back to Roma real quick, mm-hmm. like Alfonso Cuarón is, you know, these types of filmmakers have these insane, not insane, but these amazing visions that are
yes.
just, mm-hmm. that are sort of transcendent. And,
right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just watched.
That's what makes them auteurs, really. Yeah, it's like they have this vision.
I just watched, what was it, Children of Men
mm-hmm.
from 2006. Oh, my God.
It's got a real distinct look and feel yeah. to it. that only he could have given. Yeah,
it's epic. And he does these things, like I'm watching that movie where he fills the whole frame up to tell you stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like I'm watching and they're in this boat and I'm like, there's just a floating dead bird in the corner of the frame.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They don't point to it. They don't make it. But it's, he fills the whole frame with all of the collapse of society in all these different ways.
His mise-en-scene.
Yeah. it's really amazing. So it's, again, going back to why I want to watch Roma on a big screen. So. But to back to your, but I think it's part of what your to answer to your question is, maybe it is different because it's one thing to just sort of remaster something to preserve it,
to get all the scrapes and noise
and all that stuff out of it. But then what he sounds like he's doing in this is completely, I don't know. It's a great
completely changed. Where do you see it? And one other thing I want to mention too, like I was thinking, like this is kind of an odd choice, like what Peter Jackson putting this together, because he's not really known for, you know, archival war footage or movies, but he is known for digital master. I mean, founding Weta and everything. But then I thought too, there is actually a connection. He spent so much time in Tolkien's world. Tolkien was in World War I, and then that was his inspiration for actually writing Lord of the Rings. Hmm. So I wonder if that was one of the things that attracted him.
And I don't think people realize how horrible World War I really was.
No, it was. I mean,
because there isn't all of this footage about it. There weren't all of these movies made.
You know, people don't realize. No, they used poison gas in World War I. No. It was awful.
All right, let's watch it. Speaking of poison gas, here comes the trailer.
Yeah,
I haven't seen the trailer. I'm really looking forward to this.
So now, Graham, it might start blurry, but then it'll actually
shut
get that
filthy glassware mouth.
Because you can see the speed and the frame rate too. All that gets changed. Right. This is also a good example of a very effective trailer. You see the transformation on the in the footage as you see where it goes.
I was 16 years old, and my father allowed me to go.
I was just turned 17 at the time.
I was 16.
And I was 15 years.
When they came to us, they were frightened children and had to be made into soldiers.
All right, boys, here it comes. We're in the pictures.
I gave every part of my youth to do a job.
It was kind of under the radar, so I didn't really hear that much about it. I heard more about Mortal Engines than this Peter Jackson project. See how the frame rate was slowed down? Unbelievable.
That's
it was a job to be done.
100 years old.
I think, wow, this is like one of the more.
And it's also in 3D. I mean, he also did, a stereoscopic. Whatever you call it.
Yeah, conversion. Yeah.
Conversion. Yeah. Thank you. That's the word.
I mean, this is amazing because the thing about World War I was it was this horrible, but we don't, all we have is that. Black and white fast footage that sort of makes it seem like a Chaplin movie, and it doesn't really, to our modern eyes, we don't see the horrifying, we don't understand, and there hasn't been a lot of World War I movies that really captured this. I had my grandfather.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah. that's it.
Well, we had the War Horse.
Yeah, I like War Horse.
Yeah, but that was like, you're right, there aren't that many. And I think they only put Wonder Woman in World War I because of Captain America.
Oh, that's exactly right.
Well, also, I mean, Bill Murray did that movie that was a remake in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
I'm blanking on
it. Yes, I am too.
Aaron.
I remember this.
Where they talk about...
Stripes.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That was all based in World War. It was anyway. It was like so. My grandfather fought in World War I, and he lied about his age because he wasn't 18 and said he was like 15 or 16. Mm-hmm. And he was stationed in England, and this commanding officer really liked him, so he stayed as this guy's, this colonel's assistant in England. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be here. He probably would have died. Mm-hmm. My great uncle fought in World War I, and I remember interviewing him for a paper I did in high school about World War I, and he just sort of vaguely talked about it.
Mm-hmm. God, how old was he?
He was, I mean, he was in his 80s when I was in high school in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was, and I remember talking to, when I was in, I did a tour, a comedy tour in Iraq, so Thanksgiving.
I'm glad you prefaced it with comedy.
Just so people know.
I did a tour in Iraq.
2 weeks of telling dick jokes. The Razor's Edge.
The Razor's Edge.
Which is a remake. But it's a World War I. He's this, rich kid playboy who goes over to World War I and comes back, and he's not the same guy. Mm-hmm. And there's that classic thing where Brian Doyle Murray, his real brother, plays one of the guys, and when somebody dies, he gives this really like cold, he will not be missed when this guy dies. In that movie, Razor's Edge is a really underlooked movie. And mm-hmm. it was the story about Razor's Edge was Bill Murray said, I'll do Ghostbusters 2, provided you give me Razor's Edge. And
interesting bargain.
And it's a really strong acting piece for Bill Murray that is so, so overlooked. Mm-hmm. And I remember
it's definitely a sleeper movie. It didn't get, wide.
But the thing about people don't understand about World War I, it was awful. It was up close, bayonet fighting, chemical weapons.
Yeah. Poison and, gas.
Pardon? The trenches. Mm-hmm. Trench warfare was horrifying. Yeah. And when I was in Iraq, there was a bunch of PGA golfers were sort of in Iraq at the same time. And they were going to bases and showing guys how, and they're setting up little driving ranges is cool. And one of them, and so we crossed paths, our tours sort of crossed paths. And one of them was David Faraday, the kind of comedic golf guy. And he told a story about his
quite the overlap, the comedian.
Yes,
golf, the two tours meet.
It was, and the Washington Redskin cheerleaders were also in Iraq at the same time. But we were somewhere eating between flying somewhere, and he was talking about the reality and the horrors of war because you're all sort of seeing some of that there. They always take you into medical tents when you're over there and stuff like that. You meet a lot of wounded people, and he talked about how. His grandfather, the story of his grandfather, he came back from World War I and didn't talk for 3 years.
Wow.
And he's like, no one called it PTSD. They just said he was shell-shocked.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I was like, oh.
Wow.
What to me, when I see what Peter Jackson is doing, I'm like, that's awesome because he can really put a human face on what that war was like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I want to see.
I really want to see that. I want to see it in 3D.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
I'll see both these films.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Mark, I'll ask you before we get into the DVD and Blu-rays. Do you have any movies coming up that you're excited about that are coming out? Other than Spider-Man, of course.
I have to see Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to see Aquaman. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to see Bumblebee.
I'll tell you right now, Bumblebee, it's actually really good.
I've heard that. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. And I really want to see Mary Poppins Returns.
Yeah.
I've seen the original Mary Poppins,
but
the sequel. So I'm really excited about it's good time for film.
I really think, too, Bumblebee is that... Like we were talking about because I'd seen it early and it was almost like a sigh of relief to watch this movie. We're like, because we've been bombarded by horrible Transformers movies for so many years.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh, a filmmaker who actually has some passion and love of the material actually can get in there and make an actual movie. Soulless filmmakers make soulless films.
That's the thing. It's like we've now got the technology to make these movies good, but they need
they need a good script.
Well, that and
you know, that has to be important.
There is a, I talk about it in the other episode, but I'll tell you because it relates to that, is at the end of the movie, they had that like that kind of behind the scenes where they, Travis Knight talks about the movie and the script, and but he also talks about the technology and how the designs, like if you probably grew up with Transformers in the 80s cartoons. He said they actually dropped down the detail level and made them more like the original Transformers. So you could tell, like, an arm is a bumper or, you know, the wing is on the back and they have certain colors.
Yeah, that was part of the appeal.
And he said it's not all just gears and metal. And that was like, so everything he did in the interview without actually saying it was kind of a subtle dig of like everything that Michael Bay did wrong, and he's absolutely right. Like everything from the, you know, the no script philosophy to the character and CG design was like all off and wrong. So he did a giant course correction on a smaller budget and a smaller story and a smaller scale, and it just worked. Like every review I've been reading is like, this is the Transformers movie we've been waiting for the entire time.
I hope it does well, because I want to see that kind of, you know, filmmaking rewarded.
I agree. So okay, DVD and Blu-ray. We have Venom, and I would say go see Spider-Man in the Into the Spider-Verse. You know, you didn't really miss much with Venom.
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Because it was blurry.
Not good. The House with a Clock in Its Walls. This was one of those weird kind of movies where it wasn't a great movie, but it had such great parts in it. Like there were, like, you know, they hired a torture porn horror director to direct a kid's horror movie. So
that's interesting.
That's interesting. Yeah. It's Eli Roth directed it. So,
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. So it's
what
really
was the thinking there?
Exactly. So here's what's interesting.
I know who we can get for this kid's movie.
Is it The Hostel with a Clock?
Yeah. So every scene with like a kid and any kind of like human connection with a kid and an adult falls flat. Where
really?
The scenes
it's almost hard to imagine.
Yeah. But the scenes that are supposed to be creepy and have the horror elements to it, like raising the dead and blood rituals and stuff, are creepy as hell because that's what he does. It's almost the kind of movie where you're like, well, I kind of wish there was two directors. Like, just let Eli Roth do those scenes and let someone else actually direct the actors,
that's
you know,
very
at some point. So it's not a great movie, but it does have some great horror parts to it. A Simple Favor. Didn't quite see this.
I gotta say, I loved A Simple Plan, and I've been waiting for a sequel.
Yeah.
So I missed this when it was in the theaters, but if it's anything as good as A Simple Plan, I'm in.
I'm just looking for a plane.
Well, it's a simple universe.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited about that.
It's a extended cinematic simple universe. The Predator.
Is this the child molester cut?
Yeah.
Too soon?
Not soon enough. Because if it would have prevented this movie from being made, it would have been better. This movie is terrible from start to finish.
Oh, that's disappointing. I haven't seen it.
To the point where, even like we talked about before, like even the editing was off. Like it was even horribly edited.
Oh, that's
disappointing. Where you're like literally like scenes don't even match each other.
Uh-huh.
Like, the Predator's, the Predator's behind the Jeep. And then the next day, the Predator's in the cave. Like they don't even match.
It's the point you just made, Mark, of like with action movies, we know what a Predator movie is. I'm not going in to see amazing, but just make a serviceable script.
Yeah.
Well, that's Shane Black. I'm surprised, you know, because Shane Black can write.
Yeah.
It was a mess.
My guess is they had, you know, 15 punch-up people on this or something.
Yeah, like to see the original Shane Black script and see what that would look like.
You know, I mean, Shane can bring it.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but it was really a mess.
No.
And Fahrenheit 11/9. This is the Michael Moore
didn't see it
quote documentary, but can you really call them documentaries? you know,
he makes an op-ed.
Yeah,
That's really op-eds.
The thing about Michael Moore now, I mean, it's preaching to the choir. It's like, you know, if you're conservative, you watch Fox News. If you're, it's the kind of documentary filmmaking that it's not going to change your mind. It's either going to reinforce your opinion or it's going to get you angry and you're just going to think it's all lies. So that's pretty much what this show is. Yeah. But which is it? That's for you to decide.
Fake news. This is CFN. Fake news.
And in the site spotlight, we are also still marking down things at the store. The Doug Benson CDs are still $4.99.
Once they're gone, guys.
They're gone. Yeah, this is it. Liquidation. There's a few left, but, you know, the thing about it, like, why would I buy a CD? Because these are signed. These are actually...
And you get 20% off of that.
Yeah, and you get 20% off of that if you use the code Skynet. That's good for the rest of the year. We also marked down the Wayne Fetterman CDs. Those are CD sets, and they're also signed. Instead of $15.99, they're $8.99, so we have a few of those left. And we also have a couple Patton Oswalt and Mark Maron CDs. So those are in the
get your orders
store
in
too.
This week, guys. So you can get your presents delivered by Christmas.
Yep.
By a Kurt Russell Santa Claus.
Yes, right down your chimney.
By Santa Plissken.
And you get a free T-shirt with every T-shirt order. That's still going. So if you buy a T-shirt, you get a free one.
How about it?
And I think that's it. Oh, and also, if you're having any issues with your orders or you want to just make a suggestion, use the email info@comedyfilmnerds.com. The contact form is working again on the site. But if you really want to kind of have discussions on the movies, use the message boards. You know, Charlene is over there, cleaning up the threads, making it more welcoming for everyone. She's our new moderator. And you can have great discussions over there, especially with all these Christmas movies coming out.
Coming out this week. So, Mark, you're excited about Aquaman. What is exciting you about this?
It looks amazing. It looks so visually fascinating. Mm-hmm. I'm just in. I'm Jason Momoa. It just looks like a lot of fun. It just looks like a lot of fun. I'm
all right. That's fair.
It doesn't need to be Godfather 2. It looks so visually arresting. I'm very, very curious.
It does. It does look like the underwater stuff looks like it's going to be really interesting. The whole world down there.
I hope there's more to it than a video effects reel. I hope there's serviceable plot and story and character. But again, like you said, you don't need a ton of it. You just need it to be serviceable so you can enjoy the visuals.
Well, I have high hopes.
Mm-hmm. And Bumblebee, like I said, it's good. I know. I was just as surprised as you guys. It's really good and it's fun. And honestly, it's kind of a girl power Iron Giant. Is really how it
I'm
felt.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, yeah. It's
a good pitch.
You know, and it was
this is a really good pitch.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go see that movie.
Yeah, and Mary Poppins Returns. You said you're excited to see this.
I am. Actually, I got the screener, so I'm going to be...
It looks great.
That'll be playing at my house.
Mm-hmm.
Showtimes?
But it looks really good. My girls have already watched it. They love it. I'm excited, you know.
Have you seen any of it yet, like when they were watching?
No, I steadfastly refused. Like, I didn't go in the living room.
Because I got to say, the animation, the 2D animation looks amazing.
Yeah,
like, really fun.
I'm totally down. Totally
down. I just think, Mark, no offense, I think your TV is a little blurry.
Yeah.
I think you have a...
That is probably true.
Yeah.
That is probably true.
And second act, this is the Jennifer Lopez counter-programming movie. This is probably a good weekend to release it, because if you're seeing that movie, you have no interest in any of the others.
That's probably true. Yeah.
And but it's, again, it's a big
what's up?
Movie release.
There's some breaking news. Penny Marshall passed away.
Oh, no. Sorry to hear it.
Oh, wow. Man.
All right. Sorry to hear.
So, yeah, Penny Marshall just passed away.
Rest in peace, Penny Marshall.
Welcome to Marwin and They Shall Not Grow Old are coming out.
Way to bring down the entire podcast.
Way to go. Yeah.
That's a real bummer, actually.
But let's end the show on our favorite Penny Marshall movies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Big.
Yeah.
Big. Got to be Big.
I got to agree.
I love A League of Their Own, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I like A League of Their Own, but honestly, Big I like better. Yeah.
I feel like Big ages better.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it just ages better.
League of Her Own has some great moments in it and makes there's some cool points in it, but I agree with Big, because here's the thing about Big that is so great. It was, you got to remember, it had come out after a bunch of Freaky Friday type stories had come out.
Right.
And so you had to have these set pieces in there. She just did them. She executed them the best, in my opinion. Like,
yes.
They got to go to the toy store, right? Yeah. That always had to be a thing.
Right.
But the way they did that, where he's playing chopsticks with Robert Loggia on that massive piano, was so beautiful.
It's an iconic scene. It's like, you know, when you think of that movie, that's the scene you think of.
Totally.
And also, you know, there's a lot of heartwarming moments, but there's a lot of, like, the first night he's in the hotel room in the bad neighborhood and he's scared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was like, it was, that was like, yeah, a 12-year-old boy would be terrified who grew up in the suburbs who's now like in Manhattan.
Well, well, I think unlike a lot of the films, you know, that you're right, they were left for Freaky Friday-esque body swap kind of, you know, movies around that time. What I think distinguished Big was it had heart to it.
Yeah.
It really had heart to it. And that was, made it more than just a fun concept.
And kind of, she did a good job, I think, of, if this actually happened, how would people, like, when he first goes to talk to his buddy, and his buddy flips out and thinks, oh, God, this adult is going to molest me.
Right, yeah.
And flips out. And it wasn't until he sings the song. And the kid that they cast to play his buddy
was great.
Was great.
Yeah.
He was legitimately terrified, oh, God, I'm trapped with this big guy. And then he starts singing the song, and then that's what clicks them together. And then there's all that great stuff where, you know, he holds the kid down to get the ball, you know what I mean? Yeah. And and at the Yankee game and all that stuff like
It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. It's so much fun.
Oh, yeah, man, well.
Movie. I wonder how many people bought that fortune-telling machine.
Right.
Like, you know, like, this got to be on eBay somewhere.
Zoltan.
Yeah. And Welcome to Marwen. This is the Steve Carell movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this is definitely, like, they're pushing this for an Oscar.
I'm really looking forward to this. Mm-hmm. Kim Miles, who was the, he was a directing, he was a director of photography on the Flash series, and was actually going to direct an episode of Arrow this year. Mm-hmm. But I get a email from him. Feel really bad about this. I've been given the opportunity to be the DP on the next Robert Zemeckis movie. Can I bow out of directing Arrow? I'm like, well, of course you can, man. It's a bummer for us, but it's great for you. And he's unbelievably talented and a really good guy. So I am. I just want the movie to succeed for him, quite frankly.
That's awesome.
And it looks really interesting.
It looks great.
It's one of those movies that it's like, it's got that fantasy element to it. Ooh. And I'm looking forward to it because it's in good hands. Like Robert Zemeckis, I feel like, well, if anyone can mix those elements, he should be able to.
I'm so glad he's making movies again.
Yeah.
So, live action movies. You know, his voice was missed.
So I'm hoping it's good. I do because it definitely looks interesting.
Well, it's based on a true story, so you know, then it's like, because if you just kind of. That to me makes it like, wow, this guy was beaten up, and this is how we dealt with it, and then we get to see. The cool thing about filmmaking, and especially with Robert Zemeckis, is this guy created this world with these dolls. So it was just sort of in his head and he wrote this story. But now on screen, we get to see that come to life.
Yeah.
Which will kind of tell this guy's story in the best way, I think.
Yeah.
And I like all the actresses they've cast as the team or whatever.
It reminds me a little bit in a way of... do you remember an old Peter Jackson movie called Heavenly Creatures?
Of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The girls were, you know, hallucinating, and
that's
then,
interesting. Yes,
about in this fantasy realm that they lived in, and all the while they were plotting to kill the friend's mother. Yeah. So, but it blended that kind of fantasy, kind of almost like a premonition, vision questy type thing, where everything that you see in the fantasy world that they're envisioning, you know, coincides with something that's going on in the real world, even if it looks very abstractly connected, it's there for a purpose and a reason. And that really feels like that's what this movie is doing.
Yeah.
So, and the last movie is They Shall Not Grow Old, where we just saw the trailer. And I'll tell you, it's a big weekend for movies.
It's a big weekend.
Some of these are Oscar films that are getting a limited release.
Yes.
But,
you might not be able to find all of these in your area, but there, you will certainly be able to find Aquaman and Bumblebee. I'm sure that will be close to you. But these other ones, from what I'm seeing and from the trailers, they look like they're worth your time to seek out.
It's that time of year for good movies. So,
thank you
so much, Mark.
Thanks, guys, for being
on the show.
It's always fun. I always enjoy myself.
So, Mark, what do you want to plug? What do you got coming up?
Oh, well, when is this podcast dropping?
Today.
Yeah. Hey, well, you know what? Guess what? On Friday... the first season of Three Below comes out.
Okay.
It's the Trollhunters spinoff series, sequel series that I'm doing with Guillermo del Toro.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a ridiculous cast. It has Tatiana Maslany and Diego Luna and Nick Frost and Nick Offerman.
Oh, wow.
And Haley Atwell and John Kenney and... Cynthia Hines, and we gave a shot to an up and coming actress who I really think could go someplace. Her name is Glenn Close. really going to set the world on fire. Mm-hmm. It's an insane cast. Steve Yeun returns as Steve Paulchuk. Charlie Saxon returns as Toby.
Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey Grammer, I guess I could say, yes, Kelsey Grammer does return, reprise his role as Blinky, because we will be seeing a couple of the Troll Hunters characters on the show.
Nice. Oh, great.
So it's pretty cool. It's really cool. Yeah, really excited about this one. So please check it on out. It's on Netflix.
Now, this is a spinoff. Like you, I remember you saying that you have the original Troll Hunters series, but then Netflix greenlit like a couple of spinoffs, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. This is, there'll be three shows in total, Troll Hunters, Three Below, and Wizards. So it's okay. Trilogy of shows, and I'm really excited about this one. It's a lot of fun. It's got a lot of heart, a lot of humor.
It's a fun show.
It's
yeah.
a real fun show. The visuals. If you thought the animation on Troll Hunters was impressive, this is just blows it away.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
okay.
it's I don't know how they. We use the same artists and the same vendors and same everybody, but everyone just brought their A game. Nice. It's next level stuff. It's really
that's great.
Oh, yeah, it's really cool.
Okay,
on Netflix, everybody.
On Netflix, yeah, Friday.
And then you can probably still check out on CW the crossover, right?
You can absolutely check out the crossover. That's like on the CW app, and it's I think it might even be on Netflix. But yes, that's still around and available to check out. What else is going on?
What's the name of the Amazon show that you were in?
Carnival Row. Carnival. It's a show with Orlando Bloom and Cara Delevingne, and it's pretty awesome. It's from the creator of Pacific Rim, and it's this really incredibly visually arresting, very I think timely. Sort of fantasy, and it's
is Guillermo
really
del
cool.
Toro involved in it?
No, he was attached to it for a few minutes long before I got involved.
Okay,
but you know that Guillermo is a busy guy.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on.
Guy. Mm-hmm. But it's funny. Actually, it was through Guillermo. Guillermo was how I learned about it originally.
Oh yeah,
because we were working on Troll Hunters when he was reviewing the script.
Oh great.
Yeah.
All right. You got a lot going on.
Yeah. A lot going on. It's good stuff. It's
well,
good
always stuff. Always glad to have you here,
this
Mark.
This is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Yes. I always
wait, did we go an entire episode without giving him shit about the Green Lantern movie?
No. Nope. Okay. Guess not. Guess not.
Yeah. I was going to, Chris.
Yeah.
Guess not.
Wow. All right. Well, I think we deserve some credit for that.
You do. Yes. You do. We're going to take away a little bit of the credit.
Yeah.
But, you know. Yes.
But that's great. I want to check all that out. My son is a huge fan of Troll Hunters, so we're looking forward to that. And I think it's a really fun show. It's actually the kind of show that, you know, I can watch with him and be really interested. Like, it's kind of like it's that great sweet spot of like, well, kids can enjoy it, but also adults as well, because we can get into it because the characters are so good,
too. Thank you. Thank you. That's the idea. I mean, people like always ask me, like, well, how do you write for kids? And my dirty little secret is I don't. I just write it as if it's a show.
I mean, it's easier to go, what's the worst type of kids program? Oh, when kids are being talked down to.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
It.
Yeah.
Kids can totally handle it. And, you know, these shows are sort of, you know, inspired by the old Amblin films, you know, which again, were like for all ages, you know,
right.
for kids of all ages, including adults. And, you know, heart and humor and a bit of adventure and visual pop.
Well, the Amazon show sounds fun too.
The Amazon show is great. I'm really excited about it. It's a situation I sort of stepped into. I wasn't involved with the show from the very beginning. But
does it have kaiju in it?
It does not have kaiju in it, but it has fairies and it has trolls and it has centaurs and pucks and. It is an incredibly visually arresting piece of television. We're shooting it in Prague, and the look of it's incredible. And,
oh, great!
Carnival Row, which is where most of the shows take place, they basically built on a back lot.
Oh, wow!
And it's pretty cool. I'm very excited. I'm lucky to be working on it. I'm excited for people to see it.
Very cool. Yeah. All right.
So FNX, the channel I did that, that I directed that series on, has an app now. So I know a lot of you didn't get the channel, but if you download the FNX app, First Nations Experience, you can watch all 13 episodes of the First Nations Comedy Experience, this series that I directed, produced, and hosted. So download that and check it out. And then, of course, Stay in Your Lane Comedy Show this Saturday, the 22nd. That's at grahammelwood.com. And then the Progressive Comedy Tour that I'm doing with Ron Placone. We go to Florida in January, and we're going all over the place. We're going to Texas. We're going East Coast. So all those tour dates and everything are grahammelwood.com.
All right, check it out. And my graphic novel, Long Ago and Far Away, is available at the Comedy Film Nerd store, signed. And I'll be making a publisher announcement in January. And also, make sure you subscribe to Conversations from the Abyss. That's my scripted podcast, basically an audio Black Mirror in 15-minute chunks. And the season 2 will start dropping in January.
Yeah, go to the store, guys. Use Skynet. Save 20% on everything that's available at thecomedyfilmers.com.
Yep, it's not too late. Check it out.
Christmas and, shopping.
Last-minute shopping. We'll get it to you. Stuff's going out this Friday.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for doing the show.
Oh,
Aaron, thank you for bringing in the breaking news. We're sorry to hear about Penny Marshall.
Yeah, rest in peace, Penny Marshall.
So my name is Graham Melwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember, Han shot first.